No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today's the 30th day of October. Welcome, everyone. We are nearing the end of this month together. So hard to fathom to me, but here we are. This is where we are, and I am so glad to be here in this space, this safe space with each and every one of you. I am so glad that you are here and have made your way to the Word of God. We made our way to this man named Jesus, both fully man, fully God in the New Testament, who we claim our whole faith is modeled after. Christianity, Christ, Jesus Christ, Christ-like. And yet, do we even know him? It's a fair question to sit with and ask ourselves. I guess maybe to personalize that question, do I know him? Who do I say Jesus is? Who does my life say that Jesus is if I am imitating, if I am to be like Jesus and knowing him through his word, understanding the context of his word and making that space, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak and for some of these things to sink down to the bottom and see what floats up to the top. This is why we are here. Let's jump into the word together today. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11 and reading through chapter 18, verse 14. This week we are reading the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go, do not set off in pursuit. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must endure much suffering and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so too it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed all of them. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed all of them. It will be like that on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, anyone on the housetop who has belongings in the house must not come down to take them away, and likewise, anyone in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Those who try to make their life secure will lose it, but those who lose their life will keep it. I tell you, on that night, there will be two in one bed. one will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding meal together. One will be taken and the other left. Then they asked him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the eagles will gather." Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my accuser.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?' He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." Beautiful story today that we touch on, speaking about the men that were healed of leprosy by Jesus. 10 men healed. Whew! Here's the hard, cold facts. One returns to intentionally thank Jesus for his healing. 1 out of 10. The Bible states that this man was a Samaritan. Jesus discloses why this is important in the story. Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? I want to say this to us as the body of Christ as a whole. Can we be mindful of how we treat our brothers and sisters around us? Can we be careful how we speak about our brothers and sisters around us to other people? There are people who have not yet come into the kingdom of God that hear our words and watch our actions. I say this to you today because I am of the minority in a different country, and it is difficult to navigate. If it were not for the kindness of strangers, I would be really lost. We would be really lost. How we treat people matters. And as we hear this story today, may we consider what God has done for us, where God has brought us from. Where is our heart? Have we come back to say thank you? Do we come back to say thank you often? I use this analogy. I talk about cooking a lot. I love to cook. I love to host. I host our family once a week. I love to prepare just a beautiful and delicious meal for everyone. And it can be a lot of work sometimes. And I love it. But I have this little boy. He's not a little boy anymore. He's turning into a man, teenager. And it does not matter if I make the most elaborate meal or if I make him toast. He will 10 out of 10 times come and say, "Thank you for dinner, Mom. Thank you for making me dinner." It means so much to me. I do not expect it from him, but he has never disappointed me. I do not expect it, even though he says it often now. But when he says it, it fuels my soul. It feeds me to go, "Oh, that was so worth it." Can we consider what God has done for us and make gratitude and thanksgiving not just a day on the calendar, but can we make it a posture of our heart? And I'm speaking to my own self here too. Jesus, today we give you thanks and we give you praise. We thank you for all that you've done. God, we thank you for all that you have not done, because you have known better. You know what we needed. You know what you withheld from us and the reasons why you did. God, today we give you our hearts of gratitude for who you are, where you brought us out of, what you saved us from that we never experienced, because you protected us, even though our actions led us to all of the wrong places. You kept us safe. And sometimes we still went ahead with the poor choices. We asked you to take away the consequences. Instead, you healed us. Instead, you repaired our brokenness. Thank you, God. We can never repay you, but may our lives be a witness and a testament of the goodness that you are, not because of what we got, not because of the situations that you brought us out of, but because you are a good and loving Father. I pray that we would return that goodness to all of those around us that we encounter. May we be careful to give you thanks and praise in every season. And I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome back to another edition or episode or installment of whatever this is with Brian and Jill.
Whatever this thing is.
That we do usually fairly well halfway to deliriously tired every day.
Mm-hmm. Self, it just kind of named itself, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And, you know, it's a little bit of like processing. Like, I think it actually helps us kind of integrate a little bit of what we are doing mm-hmm. each day as we just kind of review it. And so therapy with Brian and Jill. processing the day,
decompressing.
Oh, that's nice. Another decompression with Brian and Jill. Hi everybody, it is really nice to be here with you for the first time from a brand new place that we've never been before, the island of Malta.
Of Malta.
It took a good part of the day to get here. That's pretty much what we can tell you.
It was very sad leaving Greece. I love Greece.
Really, really, really was. So this morning we were on the island of Crete. That was an enchanting surprise. Just the whole experience. Just no way to expect what you never experienced. And so it was, I don't know, there were just moments, and we've already talked about them, but just moments like at Fairhavens, looking at that harbor, standing on top of that hill, going into that cave, mm-hmm. nobody there. Like, it's the road less traveled.
For sure.
To really stand in some of these places and take the effort to make the work of it. And was just humbling to be on Crete and just really contextualize Titus and the letter to Titus and Paul and Titus and how that changed that island. So I got up this morning.
Tell everyone what you saw this morning.
Yeah. And you saw it too.
Mm-hmm.
I got up this morning and went for a walk and just had a little trouble sleeping and was just walking. And really, it's an island, so we were really close to the shore. And man, the ocean is blue over here. The ocean is blue over here. And clear sky, not a cloud. It's before all the shops opened. Everybody was just preparing to open up their shops. And I didn't, know exactly what was going on. But by the time I was heading back to the hotel, I did, because a couple of giant cruise ships had docked. And so people were, by the thousands flooding into Heraklion, into this city. But I was like just ahead of that. And we had learned, in Gortina or yesterday of, Paul and Titus, and Titus becoming the bishop and just really integrating that. But we found like the holy relics of Titus were in Heraklion, in the church of Titus. And when I say holy relics, like this is going way back, way, 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 way back to like St. Helena, Constantine's mother, kind of started this whole process of having relics and sending these different relics throughout the entire empire as, would make these cathedrals and churches places of pilgrimage, because they'd want to come and observe these relics, and it would, cause them to be prayerful and really contemplate. And when I say a relic, usually, I mean, that can, like that could be a piece of, like Helena sent what she found what she thought was the true cross of Jesus and sent different fragments of the cross throughout the empire. But it can also be, like the bones of a saint or an apostle. So remember, we were in Istanbul and we saw like the arm bones in this kind of gold casing of what was supposed to be John the Baptist.
JTB's arm.
Yeah. Crazy, yeah. Weird, but definitely bones. So anyway, so we were told the relics of Titus and how these were authenticated and what the provenance is and how long the tradition holds and how long they've been on the island of Crete and where they came from, all of this stuff. Anyway, they're in this church, the Church of St. Titus, and it's his skull.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's the skull of Titus, like the Titus of the Bible, companion and son in the faith of the Apostle Paul. And in this kind of gold case under glass, but like there's a, you can look down from the top and see, the skull bones. And eerie and weird and, I don't know, morbid is not the right word, just unusual.
Yeah. Different.
But at the same time, kind of a touch point, like, wow. Wow, like, this is so connecting to this story of Titus. So I went to that church this morning, and I walked all around. I couldn't find where the relics were. I found them at the very end because, there was a group in there from one of the cruise ships And there was a guide guiding them, and that's how I ended up finding it. So I waited for them to finish and then kind of got in there and looked, and I was like, wow, this is just an unusual experience.
Yeah.
But also felt really connected to Titus and the story. And so, yeah.
And the church is beautiful too.
Very, very beautiful. And oddly enough, like this morning, there wasn't a mass or anything, but I was in there before the day kind of, like just as they were opening, and all kinds of people, mostly women, but they were coming in there, crossing themselves three times, kissing the relics,
mm-hmm.
and then leaving.
Mm.
There was one lady I watched kind of move all the way around the sanctuary, because there's relics everywhere, and so she, you know, but most of the people were coming in to just cross themselves and kiss the relic of the Virgin, not relic, but the icons.
The icons. And we have learned why all of these traditions carry on.
Yep.
And they're beautiful.
Yeah. Ancient and beautiful. Born out of controversy. Like, you can't have statues, but you can't have icons.
Mm-hmm.
To avoid idolatry, etc., etc. And so, at least in the Greek Orthodox tradition, and so, the icons, you know, they're not something to be prayed to, but they focus you spiritually. And I just observed that actually happening in the wild, like not being told about it, but being in a church really early in the morning and watching like the ladies on their way to work and stuff just stop in.
Mm-hmm.
Cross them, like most of them were going to the icon of the Virgin Mary holding baby Jesus, and so, and they just go cross themselves three times and kiss the icon and leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool to see an ancient tradition. Like, I sat there thinking, how many billions of people and how many trillions of kisses are we talking about here?
A whole lot,
you know. And how much devotion of brothers and sisters who have carried traditions forward thousands of years. So
yeah,
cool.
I mean, I think you just said a mouthful. Like, some women stopped in there on their way to work.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like Starbucks, or let me go to the, you know.
Yeah.
In our world, it's like Starbucks is that ritual, right?
Or maybe both, because people really do walk a lot. In where are we? in Europe and in, I guess, Mediterranean. Like, it's not, it's 20 minutes down the road in the car. It's, everything is, it's 5 minutes by foot. 10 minute walk.
Yeah.
People are just, they're moving.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is, like, in our culture that we're used to, maybe the ritual is more like going through the drive-through in the morning instead.
100%.
Like walking and focusing yourself spiritually before your day begins.
100%.
In this sort of way, and it's just different and
mm-hmm.
humbling and beautiful and interesting and, you know, unusual.
Yeah.
But also, you know, just feel connected. So that was going on, and then we all went for a little walk, and I took you there, and you got to see that. What was your impression of
experience? You told the story and painted the picture of, you know, just looking down at the skull in this case, but it was actually encrusted in jewel, like, in a jewel casing.
Mm.
So it was kind of hard for me to see because I'm only 2 foot tall.
Yeah. Well, I took a, like, it's part of the video post today. If you are all like, well, I've got to see this skull, you can see what we're talking about.
But it was a little bit like, where in the United States would we see something like this?
You did ask that. And that's Well, like, we don't have those kind of ancient relics that I know of.
Oh, we don't. We're not that old of a country either, so.
That's true, but it's not like we haven't had skeletons on display and for various reasons, or that we don't still in some of our, you know, national history. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess we're just, we're weird in our own ways, to try to connect, to try to find ways to connect spiritually. So
that was all the way back to this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and so then, I mean, we had to leave eventually. And so we did. We got picked up by a driver to take us to the airport. And
we witnessed a first.
Experienced a first.
Sorry. We experienced
it. Our first. And I said this, like, we have traveled around the world for decades. Like, we have been a lot of places. And riding in this van on the way to the airport, we got to experience our first car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, it was... not, I mean, I've got a headache and... bruised my shins, but I think in general everything worked out, and I thought there was going to be much more damage to the guy's van.
Yeah, I thought so too, and we are totally fine.
Yeah,
other than, like you said, just a little bit of necky headache type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little freaky sitting in a van, crunching a car, and then seeing smoke.
Yeah.
Enter into the vehicle.
Everywhere. And it's like, what? We're in the middle of this intersection. It's busy. Kind of like, what do you do in that situation?
Thankfully, the intersection right where we crashed, there was a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally on the corner as you turn. And so it all, I was just a little worried because we couldn't make that left turn fast enough. And the smoke's kind of creeping in. And we later found out the type of vehicle, the Mercedes,
mm-hmm, that he had.
This is a safety. Instead of an airbag, if there's smoke, you got to get out.
Something like that. I didn't fully understand it, but we did get out because there was smoke kind of, and it was also kind of pungent. And anyway,
I felt really bad for the driver.
Yeah.
Wasn't his fault.
It wasn't his fault.
So we made
somebody just slammed their brakes on in front of him before, you know, it was. We're all moving through this intersection, making a left, and somebody just decided to slam their brakes on in the middle of this street, and
crunch.
It just happened so fast. But I was grateful mm-hmm. that we were okay.
Okay, we got to the airport in time.
Some other vehicle came and got us and collected our stuff and got us to the airport, and off we went.
Off we went. And, to the island of Malta.
Well, so we had to go back to Athens again. So it was like five times in the last several days we've been in the Athens airport going somewhere. And, switched planes and kind of flew into another whole thing altogether. We have not seen Malta in any way in the daylight at this point. But it felt different right away. It was like, this is a different experience. The plugs are different. They drive on a different side of the road. Like, very different. And
different side of the car, different side of the road.
And just, man, everything so far, it's like, wow, I've seen some Roman ruins all the way to, like, colonial-looking British Empire-type buildings. And it's not like we have anything much to share other than we got to where we're staying and then went for a walk and got some dinner and found out that rabbit is a very important staple on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
It's the little things.
I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Not gonna do it.
Yeah. But, I mean, we walked down the street, looked at several menus, and rabbit seems to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I knew that coming. I Googled what the cuisine. What is Malta known for? Their cuisine. I just wanted to know if it was going to be like straight kebab. Because I successfully obtained a Greek salad every day that we were in Greece.
So good.
So good and fresh.
Yeah.
So good for us.
Those big chunks of fresh tomatoes.
The feta cheese. The olives. All of it.
Olive oil.
Yeah, so rabbit.
And you became quite a connoisseur. Like a big education on... I mean, olive oil has been a thing you've cooked with and used. But I think your whole knowledge went up a notch.
It did. And so did our...
Even last night, but like throughout this entire journey.
Yeah. And so did our olive oil collection, because I had to get some that's true to every region to take home and taste and cook with.
Yeah.
But some is for cooking and some is for salad. Some is a little bit bitter. Some has a little bit of pepper. Some is acidic.
Some is buttery.
Some is buttery. Some is extra virgin. Some is extra virgin. Anyways. There's a whole olive oil situation happening.
It's like a whole world that I didn't even know.
There's a half a world in my suitcase right now, so.
It's true. Malta is where we are. We were in Fair Havens, understanding the story of the Apostle Paul and him really sensing disaster would happen to the ship if they continued. And Paul's on his way to Rome to stand before the emperor and be judged. And the centurion and the boat owners, you know, kind of overrode anything that this prisoner Paul had to say. And they left. They left the Fair Havens Harbor because they didn't feel like they could winter there. And it just didn't work out. They got in this really, really horrible storm. And now think about it. Like, look at how long it took us on a plane.
Which time we've been
to
on.
Get from Crete to here in Malta.
Mm-hmm.
That was on a boat in a storm.
Yeah. I can't imagine the...
And it took a couple of weeks, according to the Book of Acts.
Yeah, and we're not talking like a cruise ship like we're seeing out in the...
Right. So, and man, Malta is... It's like directly south of Italy and Sicily, but it's out in the middle of the ocean, and like they hit that island and there was nowhere else to go. Like, they would have perished, and how they survived anyway in the open sea like that, in a storm like that. So we're here to explore that, because Crete was changed when the gospel came there, but Malta was changed when the gospel came here.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, and interestingly enough, we'll have to report back on this if there is anything. You saw a big JTB church right down the road, too.
I did not realize, like, yeah, some John the Baptist. Like, knights of John the Baptist. So medieval times. the kind of an order of soldier, like to protect Christians and Christian places and build schools and hospitals and just like I mean, they got booted off of the island of Rhodes, which we were passing through just a couple of days ago, and were given Malta, as I understand it, and so did a lot of development. And we passed by some really massive, like I saw Roman columns, and I also saw massive castle type
things.
It's just, we haven't seen a single moment in the daylight yet, and are just kind of gathering these things. But I'm sure next time we have a installment or a debrief or episode or whatever this is, we'll be able to tell about it. I think that's all I got. Like, I think we're pretty tired, and I think that's about
pretty tired
about what we got to say.
Yep.
You got any closing thoughts?
I'm sorry for being cranky earlier.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
Mimi got a little cranky tonight.
Well, thank you.
We've been traveling. I went too long without eating food.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for the things that I say when I'm hungry.
Yeah. Well. And we did have a car accident and stuff, so.
And our fifth flight and obtaining another bag somehow.
Yeah. It's been intense. A lot of, like, there's just been nowhere to kind of spoke out of and say, this is home base. We've just moved from place to place to place because they're far apart. And it's been hard, but also has really given a lot of perspective for the kind of traveling that it took to bring the gospel around the Roman Empire. So, we will tell you all about Malta when we learn more about and experience more about the story of Paul coming to be shipwrecked here.
Yeah.
And how that appears in the Book of Acts and how that actually changed the history of the people here. But
for
until
now,
then, until then.
For now, we're going to go get some rest.
We're going to go night-night. And so we love you all. Thank you for continuing to pray for us and take the journey along with us. I'm Brian.
I'm Jill.
And we love you, and we will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, my beautiful Daily Audio Bible family. This is Allie the Victorious. I've called a few times, probably don't remember me because I haven't called that many times in the last few years. I did call in and send a prayer out. I prayed for the woman whose husband cheated on her. We found out that he tried to take her life. I don't know if that prayer was made. I didn't hear it. So I don't think it was. But just if you didn't hear it and it wasn't sent, just know that I was praying for you and still am. And I also want you to know that, you know, you are not rejected. You are 100% accepted by the King of Kings. And I know I struggle with the feeling of being wanted, you know, and but then God, he wants me, you know, and so I just pray that blesses you. And I also had left a prayer request for my daughter. She was molested by her dad at a young age, and I caught her looking at porn a while back, and I pray that she doesn't still have that desire to watch porn, and I just pray that God completely heals her from the inside out. Her name is Nova. Please pray for healing over my beautiful daughter Nova, and that God fulfills his will in her life, that he heals her from just from not really caring about things, and that she will be the girl and woman God created her to be. Thanks, fam. I'm running out of time. Love you. Bye.